wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. It's great, supremely great. We live in the days of great things, gigantic and wonderful things. The jubilant cry of, isn't that great, is soon answered by another cry, that's nothing, just look at this. All a man's greatness soon fade in the presence of surpassing greatness. But for the greatest of all, we must turn to God. And there we see something so great, its supremacy can never be surpassed. Let man parade his great things, they do look big and wonderful, until God brings out his great masterpiece. Before it, all else pales into insignificance. What is so great as this? It is God's great salvation. God holds it forth for man to test and prove, that he may learn why God calls it great. Neighbor, I have proven its greatness. Have you? My Bible text is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Some skeptics say, what is so great about God's salvation? I am happy to tell you. First, it is great because it is found in the greatest person in the universe, even Jesus Christ our Lord. But God is the greatest. True. And Jesus Christ is God, and he is over all. God has this to say of him in the verses just before our text. Listen, God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. God, even thy God, hath anointed thee above thy fellows. As our Lord Jesus calls his Father God, so to him the Father and the Holy Spirit say, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. They call him God. Each of the Holy Trinity, each of the Holy Triune God is equally divine. But listen to these words. God hath anointed thee above thy fellows. Who could be his fellows, his equals? Not angels. They were his servants. Not men. We are his creatures. Listen, as God speaks, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord. My fellow, his fellows. These are expressions of the Holy Triune God. God hath anointed Jesus Christ with glories and honors that are his alone. Glories our blessed Lord acquired by his conquering work of salvation at Calvary. God has crowned him with glory and honor and given him the name above every name, and the throne of supreme greatness in heaven and all power in heaven and earth. God's salvation is great because it's in him, the greatest person. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you are blessed with salvation, God's great salvation. Second, it is great because it was bought with the greatest price. All the golden treasures of earth could not pay for it. It took a greater price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. When our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, there was laid on the altar a sacrifice far greater than had the whole universe been paid for man's redemption, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Nations may talk in terms of billions, and business deals involve millions, but the greatest price ever paid for anything was the price of God's salvation, when Jesus paid it all by the sacrifice of himself for you and for me. Third, God's salvation is great, for it brings the greatest blessings man has ever known. Medical science may prolong human existence a few years, but God's salvation gives real life that is like a springing well of fresh realities and it is eternal life that does not terminate with young, vigorous years, nor is it knocked out by death, but it goes on forever. Man's religions may ease the mind, but God's salvation gives the guiltiest of sinners real peace with God. His sins are all forgiven by God, cleared from their guilt and cleansed of their stain. By pulling social wires, a man may get a position of honor here, but what can compare to being one of God's own sons and his heirs by being born of God? Men may gain prestige by joining big organizations, but God's salvation makes one a Christian, united eternally to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the dearest place to his heart, his church, his love bride, and this to the man on the throne with all power in heaven and earth. To tell of the blessings of God's great salvation would take an eternity, so we must pass on to fourth. It makes the greatest changes in people. I'm one of those old-fashioned gospel preachers. I've no time for that modern religion that offers people a creed, a list of ceremonies, and philosophy of religion while they live the same old lives of worldliness with the same old habits of sinfulness and the same old motives of selfishness. My Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God's salvation changes a man within and without, ridding him of his old habits and teaching him new, a family altar, a prayer meeting, and a gospel testimony. The old spirit of greed has gone, and the Spirit of God takes over. The love for money had changed for a love for souls. Cursing ends and praying begins. This is God's great salvation. It changes the thief, the alcoholic, the dope addict, and the slave to lust, all to live lives of soberness, righteousness, and godliness. Neighbor, if you profess salvation but have never known this great change, then you are deceived and you need to be born again. You may have gotten to a church to sign up to its vows and assessments, but you never got to Christ to surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior. All men need this great change, for by nature we are also sinful and covetous, with hearts full of evil ambitions and lives stained by secret sins and unholy associations. Neighbor, you need God's great salvation to change you from being a vile sinner to become a holy saint in Christ Jesus. Does not your heart cry out, "Oh God, I want to be changed"? Fifth, it's great because it spans the greatest time, eternity. It starts right now, the very moment you repent and turn to Christ, and it goes on forever. It's an eternal salvation. But some people want a temporary salvation. They're like the wicked man who does not want to be married until death us do part, but just till he shall see another beautiful woman and can get to the divorce court. Some young men go to church to get a pretty girl, and they just want to be a Christian till they get her, and others till they get a job or till they get out of jail. Begone, you double-minded, two-faced hypocrites. God's great salvation has no place for you. It is an eternal salvation. You must sign up for eternity. You surrender to Christ to be His and receive Him to be yours forever. Neighbor, it is because God's salvation is so great that the Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" This old world is a fire. Its doom is certain, and you are in it like a man in a burning hotel building. There's only one way out, the fire escape. It is death to be indifferent. It is foolhardy to try your own way out. Every second counts. It is certain doom to make no haste. God's great salvation is the one fire escape. Will you use it and be saved, or neglect it and be lost forever? A horse runs back into a fire, but you're a man. Use human sense and flee from the wrath to come. At this, the devil objects, saying, "Don't be hell scared. That's just a coward, scared in religion." Let's consider this. Would you rather be called a coward or be a fool? Would you meet the man at the bottom of the fire escape, fleeing from the flames, and call him a coward? If he didn't use it and burn with the building, he'd be a fool. I'd rather be called a coward than be a fool. Fool, wouldn't you, neighbor? When the thief pushes his gun at you, what would you do? Be a coward and hand over your money, or be a fool and die in the gutter? It's better to be a coward than a fool. Life is worth more than money. Now comes the hard question. God asks you, how shall ye escape? How? That's the question. If you neglect God's great salvation, God can find no escape. Can you? Would you be fooled by a religion that tells you there is no fire? Or one that tells you you'll be burned up in a second like a feather? Or one that will do this: if you pay them a good sum of money, their priests will say mass for you and pray, and this will get you out of the fire sooner, so they say. If they could get a person out of a fire, but wouldn't do it until they got a big bag of money, you know what they're after: money. God asks, how shall ye escape? Death and hell go along together, like two arresting officers. When you find yourself handcuffed in them, then how, oh, how shall you escape? Then it'll be too late. Thank God it's not now too late for you. Take my good advice. Realizing that you're helpless to save yourself, in your desperate need, call on the Lord Jesus to save you now. God's great salvation is all in the great Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Call on Him. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I can't save myself. Lord Jesus, please save me now as I call on Thy name. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to Thee. I want to be Thine, to live for Thee, and to show to others Thy great salvation. Amen. And He will. And instantly you will be changed by God's great salvation, and in this life and in eternity you shall prove for yourself how great, supremely great, is God's salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you by His bondservant David Brinkman.